Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, greetings, Hotep. Welcome to another day in the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omiyinka 7 here live coming to you straight from my studio. And I'd like to welcome you to another topic on the destiny of the youngest child in the family. Our topic for today is the blessing for the male child. Who gets the blessing, and is it the youngest child, and why should a blessing be bestowed upon the family? Yes, we're going to be talking throughout the course of this month on the child, the youngest child in the family, and we've excluded specifically and particularly the male child in the family. As most of you like to believe that father is the main reason that that child is here. We all know from the study of science that it is the woman who determines how to cultivate those eggs. And if a male child should be bestowed up on the family, it is a blessing because we know that all the female eggs are female gender initially. So therefore, it is an immaculate conception for a male child to come to the family, and we are certainly glad about that. We're certainly glad that if we are chosen to be bestowed upon a gift to have a male child come to our home, it is an immaculate conception because truly those genders of the female organ are made. Exactly, they are made and created. And we are considering ourselves as being blessed if we have male children in our family. And that is a blessing, ladies and gentlemen. And we like to start off by saying, stand to your feet and let us begin to thank God for the blessing. And for those families who have male children in their hand and their young children, hold them up to God and bless the child back to God and thank God for giving you a blessing. We'd like to ask you to stand right now so we could go ahead and get ready for our prayer. And still water runs deep in this room, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting ready for our libation. And for those of you who are not familiar with it, yes, we do acknowledge all of our ancestors. We also acknowledge all the prophets. We believe in every one of them. And we want you to know that we in this room are no respecter person. We identify with all denominations and acknowledge all denominations. And if you will bear with me as I begin to pour libation, I'd like to pour water to the ground for the dedication to Olorun Akamare Inilede, the manifestation of Akamare. He has many names, but the many names that we're referring to in the manifestation is Oladulabare, Olorun, Ori, which is the manifestation of Akamare. Now, ladies and gentlemen, bear with me for a second. As we pour this libation to the ground, we are sanctifying this area that we're standing on. This ground must be sanctified because it's set aside. It is holy because still water runs deep in this room. And it is important, ladies and gentlemen, that you acknowledge your ancestors because you stand on their shoulders. So I'd like to pour water to the ground to sanctify the area in honor of Akamare. I say Ashe. I pour libations to my mother spirit, which is Yamanja, and I say Ashe. I pour libations for my father's spirit, which is Obatala, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the east, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the west, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the north, and I say Ashe. I pour libations finally to the south, and I say Ashe. I'd like to invite all of those ancestors who are heroes and sheroes into this room. We like to call Noble Drew Ali to be a witness. We like to call Sheikh S. Diop, Dr. Carruthers. We like to call Dr. Henry Clark. We like to call Dr. Ben Yokin. We also like to call Nina Simone. We like to call Dr. Martin Luther King and his sweet wife, Coretta King. We like to call Sister Parks to be a witness. And if they will stand with us and allow us to stand on their shoulders, that we will be mindful to acknowledge all of our deceased loved ones as we connect by way of standing on their shoulders, and as we call our children to acknowledge our ancestors. Parents, be careful that you do teach your children about the heroes and sheroes and reconnecting them back to their ancestors. We'd like to send a prayer out to the family today. For all those families that are represented here today, may your loins be blessed down to the thousandth generation. May you continue to produce that blessing in the family, which is a male child. And may you continue to have lineage that extend beyond yourself. We pray that your continents are lifted up before God. We pray that you are given abundance and that you know your birthright. This is all about birthright. Father, help us to understand that there is a birthright that we all must receive, not just our inalienable rights, not just our privileges, but our birthright. And as we take the right hand of Ifa Help us to pass that tradition on to the families who have children, that they too might pass on the right hand of Ephah and the birthright. Because for us not to know ourselves, Father, it is a shame. The first preservation is that thou should know thyself. Help us to know who we are and help us to know our purpose, Father. And as we ignite the fire today to speak of the male child in the family, help us to take back our birthright. In the mighty name, we say, Amen, Amen, Amen. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for being a part of that particular worship. We are in this room over 2 years now, here in the room, and speaking. We've got following from all over the world. And I get contacts every day from people who are interested in what we do in this room. And I want to thank you personally for being my friend and for following me. I'd like to take this time aside to say to all those followers, please do frequent this room. Our chat rooms are now open. You could come in and voice your opinion. You don't have to just sit in the chat room chatting. You can be a part of this discussion. Our phone number here, if you can lock that dial in, is 646-478-0270. We'd like to thank you so very much for locking that dial in. Keep it right there, little G. I said keep it right there. Don't move that dial. Stay tuned for A Silent Night, and we'll be right back with you, and we'll meet you in the atmosphere. Stay tuned. Welcome back, family. You're in the Care to Read room, if you should care to read. And we do have a feature book for this month, ladies and gentlemen. And through all the convulsion and running around, I haven't taken the time to give those specialists out there who work with children. I want to greet each and every one of you, you counselors, mental health counselors, therapists, clinical social workers. You've been working with children for a long time, and I would suspect that you would wait to see what type of book I would be recommending. I am a developmental therapist, and in my practice, it calls for us to read many books and by many authors. And one of the books I like to feature today is Talking with Children About Loss, and this is by Maria Trozzi. And Maria Trozzi writes a fantastic book, and the words and strategies and the windows to help children, she says, to cope with the death, divorce, and other different times. Now, we know that we all have these situations in our family and in our life, and the children need to cope, and they need to have coping skills. Now, when they come to us, they don't always have these coping skills. We have to cultivate them and develop them. And today, I'd like to recommend this book for those who would like to find a book that they can use for working with the developmental stages of our children who go through troubled times. And we'll be talking a little bit from this book today and going back and forth with it. Right now, I'd like to remind you that we do have a Black Family Pledge that is written by Maya Angelou, and I'd like to recite that pledge so that you don't forget it. Lest we should forget it and lest we should sin against our very selves, the Black Family Pledge. Because we have forgotten our ancestors, our children no longer give us honor. Because we have lost the path our ancestors cleared, kneeling in perilous underground and crying. Because we have abandoned our wisdom of our mothers and fathers And I'll befriend those children, give birth to children they neither want nor understand. Because we have forgotten how to love the adversity within our gates and hold up to the mirror of the world, shouting, regard the loveliest. Therefore, we pledge today, ladies and gentlemen, to bind ourselves to one another, to embrace the loneliest, to keep company with our loneliest, and to educate our illiterate, to feed our starving, to clothe our ragged, and to do all good things, knowing that we are more than keepers of our brothers and sisters. In fact, we are our brothers and sisters. In honor of those who toil and employ, God with golden tongues and gratitude to the same God who brought us out of hopeless desolate, we make this pledge today, here and now. We pledge to be each other's keeper and each other's assistant. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like for you to note that this is a pledge written by Maya Angelou, who cares so dearly for the family and has written so many elegant things that we can benefit from. And as we begin this particular segment, I'd like to point out that we did invite our guest to come back to be with us because he had very little time yesterday. I don't know how his schedule is running today, but we're going to go on as if we still have a program. And our topic today is the blessing for the male child. Why does he get the blessing? And what is the blessing that he receives? Now, we're going to go right into our topic. Give us a moment here, and we'll be right back at you in the air. We want to prepare to make sure you're ready, and we're going to go away in a major. Hold tight. Welcome back, family. We'd like to begin now by talking about our topic and subject for today. And if our guests should come in, we will squeeze them in for later. But right about now, the lecture is about to start. If you have not come to the chat room, you need to find your places. Come quickly and be seated. Our chat rooms are now filling. And for those who would like to be a part, we see another guest out there in the audience. We'd like to welcome caller number 814 to the room and say hello. And if you would like to speak, we'd appreciate it if you would introduce yourself and say your name for us, please. We have a guest out. He would like to just say hello. Hello, caller number 814.
Yes, yeah, Melvin Jenkins.
Hi, how are you, Melvin Jenkins? Would you like to say anything, or are you just calling in to listen?
Yeah, I've been calling, but see, I called late, though. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. Well, we'll tune you back in, and we'll allow you to listen. And if there's anything you'd like to say, we'll just click you back in. So thank you so much for joining us. And you're from where now?
Meatville,
where are you from?
Meatville, Pennsylvania.
Okay. Thank you so much. We want to say two thumbs up from Meadville, Pennsylvania. So how's the weather in Meadville, Pennsylvania?
It's pretty nice today.
I see. Now, our topic today, Melvin, is about the black male child being the blessing in the family and being very, very unique, because when a child is born to the family that is a male, we know he's unique. And I'm going to ask you your opinion in just a minute. Let me lay the foundation for the topic, and I'll come right back to the phones and talk with you, okay?
All right, good enough.
Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a caller out there. We're going to have him give input into the topic for this evening. And what we're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the topic of the gifts. We're talking about being given the blessing. And as you know, we've been talking about the destiny of a child and the child receiving the right hand of Ephah. In this situation, what we're talking about is the gift. What is the blessing, and what is the blessing that comes to the family? Fathers know that when they have bore a male child, that that is a blessing within itself, because it is not a normal thing for a female woman to bore an egg of a male. Generally, they're all female eggs when they're initially in the uterus. They are female eggs. It takes something more to create the male child. So therein lies the blessing. It's like an immaculate conception, ladies and gentlemen. So when the father sees that young man and the child is born, he knows that something unique has happened in the form of a blessing for that male child to be born into the family. And once that child comes into the family as a male child, he can carry the name. He is the seed that continues to cultivate other germinated seeds to produce the name, the namesake. So say it with me, the namesake. That is what they're producing. That lineage and that name will go on living in that family for a long time, as long as that man continues to produce other seeds. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to bear in mind that every child that is born here that's a male, usually the parents ask the questions, is you, now this is improper grammar, but they ask, is you the one? Are you the one that will deliver us and take us out of this desolate land and assist us and carry us? Hold tight, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back at you in the air. I want to say hello to our next caller here, caller number 3. From 219 area, we'd like to say hello to caller number 219. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I am excellent.
And who do I have the pleasure of speaking
to? I guess I'm
to?
Caller 219.
Yes, you're caller 219. And who am I speaking to?
I am Yusuf Ali Eel.
Oh, praise be to the Most High. Our speaker is here in the audience. Thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Yusuf. We'll be right back at you in the air, and thank you so much, and greetings for being here. Hold tight. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as we were saying, we know it is a gift for a male child to come into the family. We know that it is very unique. We know that it is something unaccustomary, because that female child being the, that female who delivered the child is a matriarchal society who brings and ushers in those wonderful eggs that are produced. And as those eggs are produced, being all females, it takes some special energy, some miraculous scientific process has to take place in order to make a male child. Some of you didn't know that. You probably thought that all of those eggs that were produced were all male children. Not so. They're all female eggs, but they have to be made and germinated into the male sperm. As you know, the XY chromosome. Now, when we talk about immaculate conceptions, herein lies every male that has come to the family is an immaculate conception. Knowing this, we know that that child is special. Now, we've changed the name a little bit because I've been educated now. We don't want to put an indictment on our people by using an adjective and describing who we are. I would like to tell you that I've been reborn again. I've been educated to use Asiatic. So I want to use the Asiatic man and not necessarily using the adjective black. To help educate ourselves better, we brought Dr. Yusuf back to our company. We've been talking about males, the male gender, how to work with the male gender, and what we can do to develop the male so that they are the blessed gift in the family. This is the gift I'm talking about and the blessing, bringing the male gender to the family. So there is no mysteries going on here, but clarity. And we want to be educated in this room, and as we become educated, we want to do better once we know better. So this Asiatic young man, you say, Omi, he is going to lay the foundation to produce seed within the lineage and carry the name until indefinitely, because the name is what we are looking for, the Blessed One, to continue to have large sums of children. And those children create the name in society. So therefore, that mother and father can see the child stretching out their lineage of that namesake. That is the blessing, and that is what we're talking about. So we're going to go to the phone line to get an opinion of some of our experts, and we're going to ask our guest to come in, and if he would care to expound upon the topic of how is it a blessed thing for the male to come into the world. What is so blessed about the male child, and how can he make the family rich? Because by virtue of him being the gender of a male, what makes him rich? Is it because he could work and he can reproduce after his own kind, or what is it? And we're going to go to our phone line and bring Mr. Yusuf back on to give us a little rendition, and then we're going to also take a moment or two to talk about his background in the area of poetry, and he'll be able to give you some of his poetry and possibly his website and email and where you can locate his material. Stay tuned. Mr. Yusuf, we'd like for you to join in a discussion, if you don't mind. We're talking about the gift, the blessing of the male child coming to the family, and would like to know if you have some input on that.
This evening, I feel I'm more as a student, as I sit and listen to you teach, opening my mind to thoughts I have not had, because I see all life as a blessing. You know, the sons and the daughters. And I actually feel that, well, for my life, I have been guided and educated by women, whether they were 8 or 9, 10 years old, whether they're 80 or 90, all of my life. My teachers have been principally women. And my best friends have always been girls before we reached our teens, and teenage girls once we're in our teens, and women after we pass our teens. If there's anything special about a man, I would think that it would be that man who can listen to a woman and not feel that he has to be the man. My thing is to be who I am. I am that I am. I am a man. I am a male. But I really expect women to have great knowledge and wisdom. And I have just enough sense to quiet myself and let women influence me. So I'm here this evening as a student, as I tuned in. My apologies for not phoning in at 5 o'clock, but I was doing some business. But I looked at the time and said, I'll call in now, and hopefully I'm not too late.
Well, you're doing a fantastic job. We want to thank you for remembering us. Thank you so much, Mr. Yusuf. I'm going to go to the phone line and see if we can get a little bit more input from the caller from 814 out of Pennsylvania, Meadville, Pennsylvania. I think that's Melvin Jenkins.
I really didn't want to talk to you, but I feel the same way he does.
Okay. So whatever you get ready, let me know. We'll keep you posted.
I'm just listening for tonight. That's all.
Okay, thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to say that on our topic and on that note, since they're throwing the towel in and they're putting me out front, I like to say that one of the things that a woman does do well, and that is has clairvoyance to see into the lives of the people that she loves. And she's constantly in her mind thinking about how she can make the lives of the loved ones that she have better. And for a male, to have a male child is sort of honor for that man to receive his first child as a male child. Nobody knows what it can do to the heart of a man until they birth a male child for him. It's almost as if what he's given you, you've taken it and enhanced it. And now his name will go on forever and ever and ever in eternity. So that is what I call the blessing, because it truly is a blessing. And I didn't know this until recently, that all eggs that are created from the ovaries, the right and the left side, were all female eggs. I had no knowledge of this at all. I've just recently been informed and educated that those eggs have to be cultivated, just like in a situation with the queen bee. They're all female. Every entity of animals and insects, they all bore female eggs initially. But it takes a certain process to calculate and to create that X and Y chromosome to create that male. So therein lies the Immaculate Conception. So the misnomer that they gave you about Mary creating a male child, that was an Immaculate Conception, if you go back and research Mary's mother, Anna, and Mary's father, Mary's mother, Anna, and their father were going before the Lord. And this is in the book of Anna, in the lost books of the Bible, if you want to read that. This is not according to Omi. This is some documentation you can read. Mary's mother, Anna, went before the Lord to make an offering, it says there in the lost books of the Bible. And when they made the burnt offering, it was not favorable because they didn't have an issue, said the Bible. There was no issue. They brought no offering. They had no child to bring that was born of Mary's mother, Anna. And besides that, the first child that Anna was pregnant with, she gave birth to a female child. So it was not acceptable for an offering to God. And they were told to go back and to get an issue. They were told that they needed to get a male child. So when Mary had her precious Jesus, and he came here being a male child, that was an example of an honorable offering to the world because there was the ability to reproduce after its own kind. So the Immaculate Conception concept is a borrowed story that comes off the wall of Egypt. And if anyone had the time to explore this, they would find that the story on the wall in Egypt depicts that this child was a male child, and therein lies the Immaculate Conception, and not that it was not born of a seed. And as we tend to go to church and hear the story over and over again that Mary knew no man, Mary bore the child on her own, and if most scientists would hear that, they would dispute that, because we know in scientific development and in the process of the developmental stages of the fetus, you must have an X and a Y chromosome to produce a male child. What a female produces is XX chromosome. She cannot produce a male child on her own. She can reproduce after her own kind only without a male. Hear me now, people. Without a male, she can reproduce an egg that's a female without a male and reproduce a child. However, she cannot make the male child without a male seed. And within her loins, she has the capability of producing herself as a female gender egg. But when she wants to produce that male gender, there must be an XY chromosome present. Therein lies she must have the male sperm to germinate that egg. Now, as you know, in the linings of the uterus, the blood builds up every month in preparation of a fetus taking hold and developing into a fetus. If there is no sperm there to attach itself to the egg, at that particular point, the shedding of the blood starts to take place, meaning and calling it the menstrual cycle. We also know that some cultures have menstrual cycles that are shorter and that are to the point of an ovulation of a drip or a drop of blood compared to a full-blown menstruation. And we have also found in research, according to Dr. Delbert Blair, not according to Omi, you can find this in Dr. Delbert Blair's material and research. He is the expert resident here that I'm relying upon. And in his training and teaching and documentation, which you can find him on the website, you can do Google Dr. Delbert Blair, I think he's right here in Chicago, you will find that he also mentions the fact that women that are spiritual, who are healers, who are athletically and inclined to have better health, their menstrual cycle is cut very short, and some situations they don't have a menstruation cycle. It was not created in some cultures, and there wasn't any menstrual cycle. So then you say, how does the egg attach itself to the lining of the uterus to produce a baby? Therein lies the misnomer that all of this must take place to produce a child, when in fact it doesn't. Because the menstrual cycle would mean that it's a prerequisite for a child to be born to have a menstrual cycle, but that is not the case. Dr. Delbert Blair explains it much more elegantly than I can ever do. However, he has begun to educate us women about this immaculate conception and how we must understand that every born woman has the ability to produce an immaculate conception, not just Mary. So don't get it twisted when you hear that Mary knew no man. You must understand that in those days, the words that they were creating, virgin stage, there was no word for virgin stage. But when Joseph and Mary came together, they were in a trial marriage, calling it the virgin stage. They were not to appropriate during that time. However, they violated the marriage laws and appropriated during the virgin stage. Yes, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, no one else has to back me up, and I have no circumstances, evidence to give you for this. At this particular point, Joseph being the line of David and the lineage of David, and if they said that Joseph was a priest from the line of Judah and David, he would no more be a priest or from the line of David that he was the seed of David, because that is the only way that he could be a royal priest. He had to have come from the seed. Jesus had to have come from the seed of David, or Joseph being from the seed of David, is no way he could have produced a royal priest. But Jesus called himself the royal priest, meaning that he was attached to King David because his father Joseph was connected to him. Therefore, Jesus claimed the position as a royal chief, a royal priest. So therefore, somewhere along the line, somebody actually misinterpreted and gave the concept that Jesus had no father, that Jesus would have been a bastard. A child born without a father is a bastard or an unknown father. So herein lies, we've got to get back to some truth, and we've got to decipher some things. And then the question comes up, the only wedding in the Bible, suddenly Jesus shows up to this wedding, and he had performed no miracle prior to that. He goes to the wedding as a guest, not as a host, but someone asked him as if he was a host, Jesus, we have no more wine. And then someone makes the statement after he does the miracle, why did you save the best wine for last? And in so many words, he told his mother, Mother, it is not yet my time yet, when they came to him to tell him there is no more wine. Now, if you start performing in somebody's kitchen and you've been invited as a guest and you go in and start stirring in the pots and creating the extra beverages that they're short of, you would be something called a host and not just a guest. So could have Jesus have been hosting